Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us today. You know, it's been a fascinating show so far, and we're not done yet. Our next guest is Randy Tosig, and he's from Blue Core Leadership. He is the founder and chief navigation officer, and I like that title quite a bit, Randy, as we get into that. We're going to talk about right people in the right seats, preparing for the exit. And Blue Core Leadership is a coaching and advisory company that helps growing entrepreneurial companies stay on course and get what they want from their businesses. So, Randy, thanks for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Great to be here, Bill.
So I like your title, Chief Navigation Officer. Tell us a little bit about Blue Core Leadership and what you do for companies.
Yeah, so Chief Navigation Officer is really about keeping companies on track. And what we do in a nutshell is we help entrepreneurs gain traction and get what they want from their business. So, getting what they want from their business, it could be a lot of things in context with what we might be talking about today. They may want an exit at some point in time, or they may want to gain more time back in their personal lives, or the traditional more revenue, more profits, or maybe make an impact. So what we do is we help them get clear about what that is, and then the game plan and the traction that's required to be able to accomplish that. And so, that's why I have really taken on that title as Chief Navigation Officer, because I feel like my biggest role is to help them stay on track.
Yeah, they're heading for some kind of an outcome at some predetermined time. They're heading for a destination, and somebody does need to pull them back on track. So let's talk about this right people, right seats comment. What do you mean by this? How does it affect the exit of a company if they have the right people in the right seats?
Yeah, so what I mean by that, Bill, is that if you're approaching an exit, and for that matter, even if you're just growing a company and wanting to grow the value, you need to look at both sides of the equation. And so if you think of right people in the right seats, it's two parts of an equation. The right people really comes down to understanding your internal culture and, the culture being your core values, really who you are as an organization, because the clearer the team and the organization is about who they are and their culture, the better they're going to be at attracting the right people who will fit very, very nicely in that culture. So notice I'm saying nothing about their abilities to do the job, because that's the other side of the equation. The other side of the equation is the right seat. So basically getting people fit your culture, and then those that have the God-given skills and abilities to do the work at hand. And there's even more to it than that, because in figuring out the functions that need to be served, it's really important to look at where the organization is going. Typically, we look 6 to 12 months out and look at the structure first. So what are the main functions of the business? What are the main roles and responsibilities in those functions? And then we can go about the process of attracting the right people and putting people in the right seats to be able to get the organization to the next level. So in terms of the exit, it's very important, because in most cases, when you're out there selling your company, a buyer wants to make sure that it's as turnkey as possible. Unless it's a hostile takeover, they're probably going to want to know that you've got a management team that is very, very on target. You've got people who know their job, understand the value of the business, and therefore a higher sales value.
Oh, so Randy, it occurs to me that there might be two sets of lenses to look through this scenario from. One would be the current owner who looks at his key people and says, well, they're my people. I mean, maybe they're not perfect for that seat, but that's the seat that they're in. And then there's, again, the buyer. And we talk a lot about this, is if you look at your business as if you're a buyer, you're going to look at it a little differently and probably make those tough decisions and changes you need to make. How do you agree with that, and how do you approach that situation?
I do. What I'll say, Bill, is that the better you do at really matching these two pieces, the right people in the right seats, who really are pushing this organization in a skyward position. And then even with that clarity of culture, if you want to take it a step further, when you're out on the market and looking for an exit and a potential buyer, ideally, if you can, you'll want a buyer that really appreciates that culture, appreciates the organization that you've developed, and has as little disruption as possible. Now, in the real world, does that happen? Not always. But with that clarity, you have a better ability of having a match in the marketplace. The situations where buyers come in and do a major turnaround in the company usually is a case where either they have a vision that's very different than the organization and they have to make the changes that they need to make, or they find very quickly that the team, starting with the leadership team, is not as good or is not as strong as they'd like it to be. So that's when changes usually come along. But what I'd say is, if you do this work and really put the effort in getting the right people in the right seats as you're running the company, I think you're going to have a much smoother transaction and a more successful in the sense of sales value and the ease in doing the transaction.
Great answer. I really appreciate the clarity of that. And, you know, one of the other things that you mentioned is the need for clear alignment around culture as a first step in getting the right people. And when we're talking about culture for a buyer that's unknown, is it important for a business owner to at least as much as possible presuppose who the buyer might be so they can understand that culture? Is that an important ingredient in an exit?
I think it is. I think it's one of those things that can easily be missed. But when a seller of a company, a founder or major shareholder in a company, is in a position of considering and planning for an exit, a great thing to do is to go out to the marketplace and really speak to culture. Because just like trying to attract the right employees, it would be ideal to be able to attract the right buyer who buys into that culture. It's better for everyone because there's less change and there's less disruption, and therefore the business that's desired can really move forward at a faster pace. I think if the parties involved don't think about this, you have more of a risk of having a disconnect, thinking everything is good, and then the transaction happens, then all of a sudden it's not what you thought, and major changes occur. So I would suggest that there's ways to be able to head that off and to be able to really work to develop a marriage that's lasting.
I think that's a great point for our listeners. And think about that. If you're a close-knit company and you're kind of a, you know, you against the world kind of a culture, a real familial kind of a culture, and you want to get acquired by a big multinational, you know, as a strategic purchase, then you better think about how your people are going to integrate into that and think about maybe there's some associations and groups and things like that they should be getting involved in to have more visibility. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and you know what I'd say also, Bill, when you're transparent about this, your key employees, and all employees for that matter, will have more confidence knowing that you're really trying to develop a match that works for both the buyer, the seller, and the employees that are part of that company. And you don't get this panic where people are thinking, well, what's it going to look like after the sale, and do I want to be here? If they're part of that, to whatever degree that's possible, then there's just harmony that develops, and it just becomes a better outcome for all.
In the real world, for our listeners, that happens all the time, where a new buyer is introduced to the key management group, kind of sprung on them. And I've been in those situations, Randy, where we all stood around after the fateful dinner where the new buyer was coming in, and everybody said, thumbs down, I am not working for that person or that group. I don't care how great their company is. I don't like the culture that sounds like I'm going to.
Yeah, it's the big knot in your stomach and the aha moment, which is sometimes the aha moment that people dread, you know. And we all go in there typically with optimism because it, you know, on paper, usually these things look really, really good. But it's these small nuances that are really much bigger than, you know, the black and white ink on the paper that really can make all the difference in the world. And it really comes with this awareness, starting with that alignment from the leadership team all the way through the organization. And with that clarity, you know, it's almost like dating. You're attracting the right people when you're really clear about who you are. And, you know, the message here is when we talk about right people, And we talk about core values, it's an organization getting very clear about who they are and then wanting to attract the right folks to that organization to make it even a better organization.
And the reason why I think this is so important, again, is because we've interviewed, dozens of M&A professionals, mergers and acquisition, people that buy and sell businesses, and they say they put the most weighting on the people, the people that are leading the company, more than the market, more than the product. It's the people that are leading, and so it's so important. Now, Randy, I understand how you help organizations get clarity about attracting good people. What other thing do you do to help facilitate a successful exit?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, Bill, the people part of it is huge. But what I do is, the way I help these organizations is I implement a system of really running all the moving parts of the business. And one of those moving parts is certainly the people part, and there are tools around this system that help the leadership team accomplish three basic things. I refer to it as vision, traction, and healthy. And vision is what we've talked about, that's clear alignment from the leadership team on down of where the organization is going and how it's going to get there. And then that traction component is really the discipline, the accountability, the structure to get the organization there. And healthy is really sort of an outcome. It's this healthy, functional, cohesive team. People know what their jobs are. They know what their role is. They know how what they do has an impact on the company. And then eventually, this whole methodology gets rolled out throughout the whole organization. So it's really a holistic look, and the people side is very important, but there are other components of this system that help put everything together. There's, for example, a data component where you get clear about those data points that you look for that help predict future results. So we help our clients with that. There's a component we call issues. Every organization has issues. Whether you like to admit it or not, in this systematic approach, what we do is we help them attack issues and identify issues quickly. I like to think of it as, you know, an issue can be an opportunity or an issue can be a problem. And what we try and do is get our clients to the point where they're looking at issues as their opportunities before they become big problems. And then there's the process component. We teach them really to get those clear processes that really make the company as valuable as it is, get that really concise, and so everybody's sort of rowing in the same direction. And I referred to traction, and traction really means developing a pulse for the organization where you have this weekly meeting where problem solving is consistent, and then you get into this quarterly pulse where you literally take the leadership team outside and work on the business on a quarterly basis. We kind of refer to that as the 90-day world. This system that I'm referring to is called EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System, and it was actually developed by an entrepreneur for entrepreneurs, Gino Wickman, who wrote the book Traction, developed this system, and it really has developed its own level of traction in the marketplace. And I use this system really to help guide my clients and, you know, navigate and keep them on course. So that's really what we do. The people part of it is a portion of it, but there's just this holistic approach that helps keep organizations on track.
And they're so interrelated. And I've heard of EOS before, Entrepreneurial Operating Systems, and it's fascinating. And one of the key components, especially in exit planning, I've heard it is tremendously useful for, Randy, is that a lot of times we approach a business and the owner is the business, and they need to move mm-hmm. from being the all-important president, all-important overtime president, to the somewhat important part-time chairman of the board. If they're going to sell their business, they're going to have to make themselves less important to the day-to-day and engage this management. So what you're talking about is, first of all, get the people right, and then get the processes right, and now you're going to have a very attractive business in a buyer's eyes, and I think that's very valuable to our listeners. So I appreciate you bringing that up.
Yeah, it gets closer to sort of this turnkey, concept. You can't be turnkey if you are the business. So that's really, you're absolutely right, Bill. That's one of the things, a basic. We're successful businesses because of you as the founder and the visionary and doing all the great things to bring your company to a certain level. It's because of you got to that level. But then there's a point where there's only so much of you, and you just start losing momentum. You sort of hit the ceiling. And so it's concepts like this that help these founder visionaries take a step back and really help them run that business without them having to be there.
What's the optimum time period that someone should be working on this? If, let's say, they want to sell their business in the next 5 years or so, is it time to start now?
Yeah, I would always say sooner rather than later, and I'd say 5 years out or even sooner. You know, it's sort of the analogy. You think about it, some people, when they're thinking about selling their home and they're realizing they have to do all these upgrades to be able to increase the value, and they do that right before they sell their home, and you sort of ask the question, well, why not do that sooner so you can at least enjoy the, the value of it before you do it. It's the same thing with the business. This, you know, a byproduct might be selling the company, but in the meantime, while you still are operating the company, the byproduct is that you're running a company that's more profitable, that's easier and more fun to be part of, and then ultimately when you sell it, you're selling something that someone can take and really push to the next level. And so sooner rather than later is my message to folks out there.
Fascinating information. Randy Tosig, Blue Cord Leadership. And Randy, you're offering our listeners a free 90-minute discovery session live or via web meeting. How do they take advantage of that and get in touch with you?
Yeah, so they can do it a few ways, Bill. One is they can go right to the website. It's bluecoreleadership.com. There is a page there where they can put a request for a 90-minute meeting. I would also urge them to sign up for our biweekly blog where we're talking about these exact same things. But I am happy to spend 90 minutes with business owners and teams to just see if there's some elements here that might be helpful for them and just find out if this system might be worthwhile for them. And they also can call our company at 703-278-CORE or 703-278-2673. And certainly we will be happy to respond and set up a meeting.
Randy, thanks very much for joining us. I'd love to chat with you again in the future and go deeper on some of these topics. We scratched the surface on them today, but it's very fascinating, and look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate being here.
We're going to take a very short break. We'll be right back after this, so please stay tuned.
Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? Will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.